The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's called PAD, peripheral arterial disease, and if you've got chronic leg pain, it may be time to get tested. Learn more at demanddebora.org. Call 609-621-2080 to schedule a screening.
If you're one of those Phillies fans who like to watch prospects on the way up and get a glimpse of what the team might look like in the very near future, Coca-Cola Park in Allentown will be the place to be this season. The Phillies AAA club will be stacked with prospects, and who better to chat about them than Dusty Wathan, the manager of that club this season. Wathan comes from a baseball family. His dad, John, was a longtime catcher and manager with the Kansas City Royals, and Dusty himself caught in the majors with that club. This is his 10th season managing in the Phillies system, and he's a pretty good prospect himself. He was the Eastern League Manager of the Year in 2015 and 2016 before moving up to AAA this season. And hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us. As we all know, the Phillies are rather deep in a rebuild, and I'm really excited to speak with this my guest today, Dusty Wathan, because he's a huge, important piece in the rebuild. It all starts, you know, at the minor league level and funneling talent to the big leagues. And, you know, the player development staff, coaches, managers, instructors, hugely important to the process. Dusty's been with this organization, the Phillies, for 10 seasons, the last five as Redding's manager, and moves up to AAA Lehigh Valley this year. Dusty, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I don't think, you know, that can't be underestimated. You are a huge piece of this rebuild. And one of the reasons I think people are excited about what's coming with the Phillies happened last year at Redding, when you're throwing all that talent out on the field. 89 wins, the second best record in all of minor league baseball. What are your kind of recollections of that season and that talent group?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, like you said, a very talented group. Very fortunate to have some good drafts, some good trades, and, you know, we're seeing young talent, which is really important. I mean, I think in the years past, you saw we had a little bit of talent coming through the system, but a lot of times we were talking about 26, 27-year-old prospects, and now we're talking about, you know, 21, 22, 23-year-old guys. So it was a very exciting year. There's a lot of potential. That's a big word for a lot of people, and, you know, hopefully these guys can live up to their potential. I expect big things this year, but last year was a tremendous year. You know, obviously everybody wants to talk about Dylan and Reese with the tremendous years that they had with the home runs and things. But, you know, the pitching side of it was very encouraging. Nick Pivetta took a huge step forward, I think. Has a chance to be a very integral part of this organization going forward. And there's a lot of guys, really. Joely Rodriguez, I mean, who you could see in the big leagues this year, possibly. We saw him in September last year. I mean, the guy, to his credit, went all the way back down to the Florida State League and ends up in the big leagues in September. So we're going to need some guys like that that are kind of not on the radar, but are going to have to step up eventually. But, you know, like I said, the season last year was really fun to be a part of, fun to kind of be in charge of and push him in the right direction, and looking forward to some success this year in Lehigh Valley.
As I mentioned, you've been in this organization for 10 seasons as a manager. And you kind of alluded to this. Have you noticed have you been able to discern a noticeable improvement, or the level of prospect you're putting into the system, the level of talent? Is it just different the last couple of years, the last two or three years, than it was when you first became a member of the Phillies organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I saw just the difference in 5 years just in Redding. From the prospects that we had coming through maybe my first year in 2012, or maybe that year in 2011 when I was in Clearwater, you know, we had guys, and nothing against these guys, but Darren Ruff, Cody Ashey, you know, some of those guys coming in that were highly touted and kind of didn't really pan out to what we expected them to pan out to. You know, obviously they're still playing and, And hopefully Cody has a chance to stick with Chicago, and Darren's making a little bit of money over in Korea. But I think now we're talking about guys that we think legitimately have a chance to be impact players in the major leagues that are younger than those guys were at that time. So they still have more room to grow. I think there's a huge difference in those prospects we talked about. Like, you know, they're just younger, maybe a little bit more talented than we saw over the last, you know, 6-7 years. So, yeah, there's a big difference. And I think that goes back to our scouting department, what we've done the last couple of years in the scouting department with Johnny Almaraz taking over and doing a tremendous job of not only getting good players, but good people that want to win and baseball players. And I think, you know, Scott Kingery is one of those guys that you look at. I mean, he's a baseball player. You know, everybody or a lot of people know his story about kind of being a walk-on in college, and he's had to earn everything that he's gotten so far. And those are the kind of guys that I think can make an impact in the major leagues because, you know, he has to work for it, and he knows what it's like to work, and he's got the talent to back it up. So, yeah, I think there's a huge difference in the prospects we have now than say, 5-6 years ago.
There were a lot of things about that Reading team that jumped out at people last year. The win total, the pitching, as you mentioned, was very good. It's very difficult to get past that nightly home run derby that Rhys Hoskins, your first baseman, Dylan Cousins, your right fielder, put on night after night. You had Hoskins with 38 homers. You had Dylan Cousins with 40 homers, the most in all of organized baseball. What was that like to witness from your perspective?
Well, it was exciting. It was a great time. You know, tough to give those guys a day off. I think most of their days off came on the road just because of the ballpark we were in, the atmosphere it was in, and for the home fans. I mean, you want those guys that come out to the ballpark every day to have a chance to witness, you know, what ended up being history. Just a lot of fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun when you write out a lineup every day and you think, we're going to win tonight. I went through a couple lean years there in Reading where I'd write out a lineup and say, gosh, hopefully we can win a game this week. And last year we were expecting to win games every day. So obviously when you win, it's part of development. We talk about it all the time that it's a big part of development because you have to win at the minor league level, I think, to realize what it's like to win, realize what it's like to fight at the end of a season. It's a long season and you want to play to the very end to give these guys a chance to develop and to see what it's like in a pressure situation. To me, I think really the only way that you can even come close to seeing what these guys are going to do in the big leagues is to play meaningful games at the very end of the season and into the playoffs because those are winner-take-all games and you have to win. And a lot of times we talk about in player development where, you know, if a guy gets better, that's fine. You don't win games early in the season. But, you know, you can lose 2, 3, 4 weeks of development when you're 10, 12 games out of first place going into August.
As you know, everybody loves power. Can a guy like Cousins, can he make enough contact and develop as a hitter enough to be impact guy in the big leagues?
I think so. I think people forget how young this guy still is. I mean, he's 22 years old. There's still a lot of room for improvement. A lot of times, you know, your strikeouts as a player will go down as you learn the strike zone, as you learn your body, as you learn to hit a little bit more. And the other thing is he's so big. I mean, guys that big are going to strike out a little bit, but it takes them a little longer to develop in everything. You know, you look at a kid in high school that grows real fast, and he takes him a while to figure out his body. I think, you know, Dylan Cousins is going to take him a while to figure out the strike zone, and he's starting to figure it out. And everybody talks about the strikeouts, but the thing that nobody talks about really is his on-base percentage. I think there's a lot of players we have in this organization that if they had the same on-base percentage as Dylan did last year, which I think was in the 350s, close to 360, we'd be really happy with them hitting 5 or 6 homers and having that on-base percentage. So I think people kind of tend to look at the strikeouts, and I agree they need to come down, but I think they will. I don't think it'll be a problem eventually. Again, like we talked about, he's 22 years old and not 25, 26.
He also stole 20-plus bags. I mean, if it clicks for this kid, there's a lot of ceiling there.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw it the other day in a game down here where he pinch ran. They ended up throwing over to first, throwing the ball away, and he scores on a sacrifice fly, kind of a medium sacrifice fly to left field on a good throw to the plate. So he's not a guy that's going to go up there and try to hit home runs and clog the bases. I mean, I think he had 30-something doubles last year, 3 or 4 triples. So he's definitely not clogging the bases. And I know it's nice to see him on base. He loves to play baseball, too, along with a lot of these guys. I mean, I've had guys that have played for me before that they kind of looked at as a job, and this is kind of what they did. But you see Dylan along with Rhys, along with a lot of the guys that I had last year, Alfaro, I mean, they're out there having fun. You know, we come out and do early work, and it's fun. They want to be there. It's not, I'm not dragging anybody out, which makes it fun for me because, you know, every day we go out and do what we need to do to prepare themselves for the game and prepare them for the future. And it's fun. They're there. I don't have to say, let's go, guys. They're there ready to go every day.
It sounds like what you're saying is a lot of these guys can smell it. I mean, they know they have bright futures, and they're eager to make something happen. One of those guys is J.P. Crawford, and we talk a lot about him. He gets a lot of ink, a lot of publicity, a lot of spotlight. This organization, you know, under Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak, they want to build a team that controls the strike zone, and he sort of epitomizes that. Doesn't strike out a ton. His walks and his strikeouts are almost pretty equal. Good on-base skills. You've had him quite a bit in the last year or so. Give us just a little inside glimpse at what he's like and what type of player you think he can be as he continues to move up.
Well, I mean, JP's a tremendous talent, a great person. You know, he wants it as much as anybody else wants it for him, as much as the Philly fans want him to be that guy. He wants it just as bad, if not worse, than any of those people out there. But I think JP is a guy that, you know, he's been so highly touted since the day he was drafted, even prior to his draft, that, you know, everybody expects, oh, how come he doesn't have 2 years in the big leagues yet? You know, everybody develops at their own pace. And, you know, JP, he had a learning curve last year, which is good. I mean, we want these guys to fail at some point in their career. Hopefully they fail before they get to the big leagues so that they can accept that failure. They know how to get out of slumps. They know how to get around failure. I mean, when it happens, it happens. It happens to everybody in every walk of life. Sometimes there's going to be low points. Sometimes there's going to be high points. You hope there's a lot more high ones than there are low. And he went through a low point last year, which is great for us from development side. I mean, yes, JP, he might not think it's so great, but I think he's learned to embrace that and knows what he needs to do for this year and what he needs to do for his career going forward. I think JP is going to be a very good shortstop. I think he'll end up developing a little bit of power. He's got power in his bat, and sometimes it gets him in a little trouble right now. But obviously, like you said, he controls the strike zone. He puts great at-bats together. He can handle the bat, do a lot of things with the bat, and we've all seen what he can do with the glove. So I think in the not-so-distant future, we're going to look at a really good shortstop. We're going to look back and say, wow, J.P. Crawford was an anchor to a very good era in Philly's history.
Wow. I mean, you mentioned he scuffled a little bit last year, but he was 21 years old in the International League, and guys are 4 or 5 years older there. And he was, I think, the second youngest player in that league. And as you move up to Lehigh with this team, I just want to kind of – it's very unusual. You're going to put 8 prospects in your starting lineup or 7 prospects in your starting lineup, and then almost every night a prospect in the starting rotation. Just, I mean, just starting from behind the plate, you know, Jorge Alfaro, big-time prospect, big ceiling, you know, needs to put some things together offensively and defensively. But, I mean, there's a lot there. Rhys Hoskins, we talked about. Crawford's going to be at shortstop. You'll play veteran Hector Gomez at third, it looks like. Hoskins will be over at first base, I mentioned. I wanted to mention Jesmuel Valentin. We talk about Scott Kingery, who really dazzled down here in Clearwater, had that good run at Reading last year, but Jesmuel Valentin doesn't get a ton of exposure. He's actually a little bit younger than Kingery. He does some nice things. Can you tell the fans just a little bit about him?
Yeah, he does. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize how good a player he is. His tools don't really jump out at you, I think. You know, he doesn't have a rocket arm. He doesn't run, you know, he's not a plus runner. You know, he doesn't have plus power. But, you know, you grade out all the stuff that he does on the field and the intangibles he brings. He grades out as a pretty good player, a real good player. You know, he's obviously got pedigree. It's one thing that a lot of us like about a guy that's been in clubhouses. He knows what it's like to be around the major leagues.
His dad, Jose Valentin, was with the White Sox and the Reds for a long time.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, he knows what it's like to be around. I don't think there'll be any intimidation factor. And as far as when you get to the big leagues, you see some guys, you know, they get to the higher levels and they can't handle everything that goes along with playing in the major leagues. And I don't think you'll see that with him when he gets there one day. But, you know, he does a lot of things well. I mean, he's got a little bit of power, tremendous strike zone discipline, you know, controls the strike zone like we talk about, which is a big plus for him. He's a switch hitter. We've played him a little bit at short. So he brings a lot of good things to the table. And you know, it's funny because, like you said, he is younger than Kingery. Most people forget that. I think we got a chance to have a couple good second basemen, and you never know what's going to happen. You know, you always want to be deep in as many areas as you can so that, you know, when you need that last final piece to the puzzle at the end, we've given Matt, you know, plenty of options to work with.
And you know, and Cesar is 26 years old. He had a hell of a second half last year. So second base is definitely a developing position of strength. We mentioned, you know, just moving to the outfield, we mentioned Cousins, you know, off the charts power and a lot of other good tools. Roman Quinn, I love watching this kid play. That swing he took the other day, hit that ball out to left center, was just a blur. Quick, beautiful swing. He's going to be an exciting kid to play in center field. And Nick Williams, hey, all the tools in the world. He's got to get on base more. What's your focus going to be with Nick Williams?
Well, Nick Williams is, I mean, another tremendous talent. I mean, I think the biggest thing with Nick is that sometimes he loses focus on what the task is at hand. And sometimes, you know, that day you have to put yourself in that moment. I think what happens to some of these guys is they see the end of the tunnel, and they don't realize you have to go through all the way through the tunnel to get there.
He was very open about that. I spoke to him last month, and he said, with every swing I was taking, I was thinking, Philadelphia, this is the swing that's going to get me to Philadelphia. And you just can't operate that way.
No, you can't. I mean, and you try to impress on these guys that, you know what, when it's your time, it's going to be your time. All you can control is what you do. You go out there every day, you play the game, you have fun. And you know, last year, another guy that you looked at his numbers, I think it was through June or something, and they were pretty darn good. And in his final 2 months, like you said, you know, I'll probably press a little bit too much trying to get to Philly. And those things happen, but that's something that he learned from. I think he's been very open and candid about what happened last year. So I think that's a big thing. You know, he's failed now. I don't think he really had any failures coming into this year. And, you know, he's learned from it. And from what we've saw in spring training here so far, I think he's pretty, you know, he's 4 or 5 walks, 4 or 5 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So if he can continue that with the power that he has and the defense that he can play, we saw in Sarasota the other day him go over the wall and make a tremendous catch. I think I'm looking forward to a big year from Nick. I think he's one of the guys that is, I mean, you could say this about a lot of the guys that are keys, but I think, you know, getting Nick Williams back to where we saw him the year before when he came over, played for me in August. I think we get him back to that, and we got something real special.
Wow, he's going to be a fun one to watch. And you know, I just want to touch on the pitching. You know, on any given night, you're going to put a guy on the mound that either has pitched in the big leagues or has a chance to pitch in the big leagues and be a very good big league pitcher. You know, Zach Eflin, Jake Thompson, Ben Lively, Alec Asher, Nick Pivetta. You could see Ricardo Pinto there. You could see Mark Appel there. They all have ceiling. They all have tools. I mean, I don't think you should lose a game.
Well, yeah. But I'm not expecting to lose, but no. No, it's going to happen. I mean, you're right. I mean, usually we only start 5 guys. Most people would die to have, you know, 7, 8 deep. And, you know, knock on wood, without injuries, we're pretty deep right now. So, you know, somebody's going to have to maybe go to Reading. Somebody's going to have to go to the bullpen. It's just it's what it is right now. And, I mean, it's funny because you look at, you know, some of these Lehigh Valley Reading rotations a couple years back, and, you know, you're trying to fill the rotations out. We would sit over there in meetings trying to figure out how we're going to get 5 guys to start in Lehigh Valley, and now we're going to try to figure out how we're going to get all these guys innings. So it's a very good thing, a good problem to have, and I'm excited to try to figure it out.
And you're a hell of a prospect too, Dusty. I mean, they move you up with this. This is a big responsibility. It's a rebuilding team. This is a core that could all play in the big leagues. And they've told you, hey, job well done. We want you to continue with these guys. Is there a responsibility that comes with managing a prospect-stocked team?
Well, I mean, I think there's always a responsibility to get the most out of anybody you have on your team, whether that's a guy that maybe the media or people think is not a prospect, you know, you try to get the most out of that guy. I think when you have prospects, you know, we got to get probably more out of them than the average player. And I think that is a big responsibility. And I think, you know, I'm very thankful to the organization for giving me this chance to manage these guys, because it's a lot of fun. It'll be fun. It's a big responsibility. It's part of my job, but it's something that I enjoy and I love. And to be out there working with these guys every day and have a chance to kind of point them in the right direction, It's an exciting time for me.
Your dad was a great big leaguer with the Kansas City Royals, John Wathan, catcher. I remember him well. And he managed the Royals. Has he offered any advice to you as in your own managerial career?
Yeah, we talk. We talk often about, you know, different situations, things that come up. I was fortunate. He managed basically my whole high school life from my freshman year through my senior year in high school before he got fired. So he always said I was tougher on him than the media, because we'd sit around at lunch before he went to the ballpark the next day, and I'd ask him why he hit and run, why did this happen, why this happened, well, why is this guy in the bullpen? So that was a very, you know, valuable learning process that most people don't get a chance to do. You know, he's given me a lot of advice. But I think the one biggest thing is communication. I think people talk about it sometimes, and it's easy to talk about, but you have to do it. You gotta get to know your players. You got to make them feel comfortable. Anybody in any walk of life, any job they have, if they're comfortable in their job and they're enjoying it, they're going to do a better job. And I think that's part of the job of the manager, is to get them comfortable with you, comfortable with the situation, and you know, try to get them to have fun. If they're not enjoying what they're doing, they're not going to be at their best. And that's part of my job, is to try to get them comfortable having fun and get the best out of them.
The baseball fan in me wants to ask you what it was like growing up around those Royals teams and watching George Brett barrel up balls, like, every time he stepped in the box.
That was special. I mean, it was fun. I mean, I think, you know, at the time you don't realize how special it is. And then as you get older, you realize, you know, wow, I got, you know, Sunday barbecue with George Brett and Jamie Quirk and, you know, all these guys hanging out at the house. And, I mean, it was kind of like our uncle George was. I mean, my dad lived with him in spring training for 10 years. He came to, you know, Thanksgiving dinners. You know, we bought a car from him for a certain amount of money and like 10 home cooked meals or something. I mean, so it was great. I mean, but, you know, George is obviously a special talent and great guy, probably a better person than he was a baseball player. And, you know, never had kids until later in life. So kind of grew up as around him and, you know, kind of like our uncle, I guess. But it was special. I mean, those times were different. You know, obviously more kids running around the clubhouse. There wasn't as many restrictions. And so, you know, we were at the ballpark almost every day all summer long running around. And, you know, it was just part of the day. It was our playground, basically. So it was fun. It was fun to see all those guys. But
now you're wearing Phillies red and have been for 10 years. Do you remember the 80 World Series, Phillies Royals?
Absolutely. We had hamburger that winter instead of steak. No, it was, yeah, I remember sitting at home watching it. I didn't go to any of the road games. We went to the home games. It was the final hump. I remember, you know, us, I can remember being a real little kid and talking about, you know, losing again to the Yankees, losing to the Yankees. I mean, I grew up, you hated the Yankees in Kansas City. I mean, probably everybody else except for New York people hated the Yankees. It was a fun thing. I think the funny thing is being around Schmitty and Dickie Knowles and those guys and listening to their side of the stories. And I've already heard the other side of the story, so it's pretty funny to listen to that stuff. But I do want to say that in 1980, the Phillies won the World Series, but the Royals won the Family Feud Championship.
That's
now,
right.
Check that out.
I think I remember they used to go on with Richard Dawson.
That's right. And my dad got all 200 points in the bonus round, and he's got a trophy for it. So that's what my dad says. Well, we lost the World Series, but we won the Family Feud.
I'm going to YouTube that. I bet you can find everything.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, YouTube, and it's great. It'll be on the game show network every once in a while. I'll start getting text messages stuff like crazy on it. Yeah, it's funny. There's some good outfits there, too.
That's great. Well, you know, 1980 Royals, Phillies, I remember it. And you know what? You're a Philly now, and you might be presiding over a group of guys who might play in the World Series someday. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be fun. It would that's what we're all playing for. We're playing to win championships. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have 2008 be my first year of coaching. So that was kind of a weird year because 07, 06, I was here in AAA. So, you know, I got to be around Chase and all those guys in spring training and stuff. And then to see them, you know, go on, win the World Series and for the Phillies to give all of us in player development rings and stuff. I say that I shut it down at the right time. So hopefully, you know, I have a chance to be with the staff one day that can win a World Series and kind of have that one of your own ring.
Dusty, thank you for your time. It was really enjoyable. I wish you a lot of luck in Lehigh Valley with that really interesting team this year. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me in anytime, Jim.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dusty Wathen as much as I did. I'm Jim Salisbury, and we'll catch you next time at the Yard.
It's called PAD, peripheral arterial disease, and if you've got chronic leg pain, it may be time to get tested. Learn more at demanddebora.org. Call 609-621-2080 to schedule a screening.